Did anyone, either you or anyone on your staff, memorialize your conversation with Robert Mueller?
Yes.
Who did that?
There were notes taken of the call.
May we have those notes?
No.
Why not?
Why should you have
them? I'm telling Mom. For my notes, get your grubby paws off them. It's just unbelievable. Chuck, when your kids misbehave, they're more mature than what we saw yesterday. Chuck Todd joins us, by the way. And good morning to you, Chuck.
Well, good morning to you. He really just seems to come across as having disdain for the government. I mean, forget anything else. Just sort of, you know, there seems to be a lack of acknowledgement that people pay a salary, that he's somehow not above this. And I think it's that arrogance about it all that just doesn't sit well with a lot of people. It just comes across as, again, you work for the taxpayers, man.
Yeah. Now, when you...
Yeah, that was a little disconcerting.
When you watch these, I don't know about you, I'm sort of fascinated at the question, this will end at some point, and what's left of you after this ends? In other words, why would you take a reputation, whatever your reputation may be, and put it in the hands of the era of Donald Trump? What does Barr get out of this? Is it a need for relevance at this point in his life? What is the upside?
It might be, but, you know, he strikes me as a guy who has spent too much time watching Fox and not enough time reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because
including the report, by the way.
He's got this virus that I've seen impact, you know, a handful of people who in another era were, you know, considered sort of fairly reasonable folks. You know, I sometimes think we just sort of underplay the power of the Fox virus and what it does to the brain sometimes, because Barr just seems like a different guy than 25 years ago. And what's the difference from 25 years ago? Sort of the conservative media echo chamber that just completely twists things now.
The Foxification, you know, of America.
But it used to be there was just a point of view ideological difference. Now it's the sun is blue. No, it's not. You claim it's not blue. You liberal you. That's sort of where we're at.
But that's the thing.
And how information flows. So you sit here and say, how does Barr, and Barr lives in another world. Barr lives in this cocoon of, nobody laid a glove on him. He lives in a cocoon of everything went swimmingly. I mean, that's why I think there's people going, I don't understand what he's doing. He thinks he's doing great.
But that's the...
Everybody loves him.
That's the problem with all of this, when you combine the burnout of America on this entire process with you could turn on your TV and you could see a fair discussion of what happened, or you could turn on Fox and you could see a completely different discussion of what happened. There's only one truth. And the problem is America is getting presented with three: the truth, the far left, and the far right. And I understand why people go, well, I don't know what to believe.
I do. I just wish people would just use your common sense. Just use your common sense. And it's like if you're just sitting there going, huh, why, you know, people are acting funny. Why is that? And then, you know, look, for instance, I thought the most damning part of yesterday with Barr is when he was forced to answer. I mean, look, I think the guy attempted to answer honestly every time. So when Kamala Harris asked him about the idea of starting other investigations and whether the president or someone at the White House has suggested or asked, and he sits there, I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest, he just answered the question.
He just answered the question.
The president is trying to weaponize the Justice Department.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is Bill Barr going to let him do it or not? And I don't know if we know the answer to that question yet.
Pat Brady's here. Pat, say hi to our friend Chuck Todd.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Pat.
I agree with all that, what you just led into, but isn't there a strain or a wing of the far right, which is really isn't too far from the far left, that firmly believes that because the president did it, it's legal? And it's just kind of a...
Yes, a little bit of that. And I do think that, look, Barr comes at this from a legal point of view that he has. I mean, he believes in executive power, and in this case, he believes in ultimate executive power. And that, I mean, he might as well have said he believes that for at least the 4 years that he's president, that presidents are basically above the law temporarily. So I will, Barr is consistent when he makes that argument. I do think, rather than saying there's a strain on the right that believes the president does it, it's legal, I would add this. There's a larger extra strain connected to that, that believes everybody's corrupt and Trump's just doing what anybody else would do, and at least he's doing it on my behalf and not
there. Right, exactly.
And that, to me, is the virus that we have in America.
That's the Chicago way, Chuck.
It really is.
Well, then apparently it's the American way for a lot of people.
Right. If you're going to be a criminal, if you're going to be a criminal, at least be a criminal that believes how I believe.
Yeah, I want my job at Streets and Sand.
I've talked to a few evangelical leaders when I've asked this question. And they're like, it's sort of, they don't quite say it this way, if you can't beat them, join them. Hey, if this is what works, then we'll align with him. I mean, I do think, and this is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the ultimate transactional politician. He believes, because Roy Cohn, who's maybe the most one of the more corrupt government lawyers we've ever had in the history of this country, is the person he learned most of politics from. Well, no wonder he thinks all politics is transactional. It's not about whether something's legal or not legal. It's about whether you can get away with it and whether you have the power to make sure you get away with it.
Bob Mueller is going to be asked to testify to Congress probably as soon as the 15th, which is a couple weeks away. I've long passed the point of going, well, this will fix it. I think he'll come in and he'll answer questions, but I don't know that we're going to get anything out of that we don't already know. What are your thoughts?
The game's, as long as Republicans control the Senate and Democrats, as long as we have this split controlling Congress, Congress can't compel, I think, the type of cooperation that the House Democrats would like to have, because they just don't have the power of having the Senate committees also asking. So, and I think that if Mueller is only testifying in the House, never testifies in the Senate, I think it does sort of lessen the impact of it. And look, I think that basically Barr pulled this off for Trump already. You know, the 4 week head start on spinning the Mueller report is game, set, and match. I think it's already, you know, to put it in chess terms, I think checkmate's already happened, but Democrats still want to believe that they just heard the word check and that they somehow have another move. I don't think they have another move beyond the ballot November of 2020.
A couple last quick things. One is, if you don't force Barr to testify to the House, what matters? In other words, in a rule of law society, which we still believe we live in, you got to uphold the rules, even if you know how it's going to end.
Well, look, this is the dilemma Democrats have in general about impeachment and the larger story, which is history is going to judge the House Democrats not on whether they whether it was politically a good idea, but whether they have participated in eroding more barriers, or did they fight to try to keep the guardrails up? Look, I don't think it's good politics for them to be forced to have to basically file lawsuits and hold members in contempt and all these things in order to try to get people to testify. I think it will that it will numb the public over time, and it will, and you know, which is exactly what Trump wants, right? Is to make it look like all Democrats want to do is, you know, so he forces them, he doesn't cooperate, he forces them to basically drag any cooperation out of them. I think politically that's risky for the Democrats, but I think historically it's even riskier if they don't.
It's Chuck Todd. Watch him every day on MTP Daily, Meet the Press, and the Chuck Todd Cast, his least favorite name for a really good podcast that you ought to listen to.
I'm warming up to it.
As I think you should.
But I'm really happy with the podcast. That part I really like.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I am a regular, as you know. Now, I believe that Donald Trump sits in the White House and the voices in his head are quite loud, but I believe there's many nights where he sits on the end of the bed going, I can't believe they're buying this crap. I cannot believe I'm getting away with this. So I'm hoping that we get that.
I don't know if he says, I can't believe it. He's like, I told you I'd pull this off. I think he's that cocky. It's more of, I knew I could pull this off. I knew I could fool the country.
Mine makes for a better TV movie. I hope you had a great...
It does, because those monologues are always good if you write good dialogue.
Exactly. I hope you had a great break. Best of the family. We'll watch you this afternoon.
Thank you, sir. You got it, bud.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. See you, Pat.
That's Chuck Todd.